Well, before we dive into it, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this new year and all that it will hold for us. We know that there will be challenges. We know that there will be great joys. We know that there will be sorrows. But through it all, Lord, we know that you will be faithful and you will be with us. And so, Lord, we go into this new year with courage and with anticipation. And Father, as we read your word, Lord, we pray that your word would encourage us in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in Psalm 16, and we're just sort of focusing on those few verses 8 to 11. And I just wanted to take a week, or maybe two, I'm not sure, to just settle our minds and our hearts in God as we approach the new year. Because new years have a particular personality, don't they? Almost like a sound. It sounds like pages that are being turned. It sounds like quiet resolutions that are made, late at night. It sounds like hope. But if we're honest, also a little bit of fear, right? We stand at the dawn of another year with plans forming almost instinctively. I'm sure that for many of you, your calendars are already filling up, but probably did halfway through last year. Goals are being named. Perhaps habits, new habits are being proposed and old ones are trying to be broken. And somewhere deep down, many of us are hoping that this year might finally be the year where things feel more settled. Things feel more faithful, more together. And yet, if we're honest again, the new year can also feel quite heavy because we've been here before, haven't we? Every new year, we come back to the same place. We know how quickly intentions can erode. We know how fragile motivation can be. We know how easily the year gets, away from us, and how swiftly prayer can slip or scripture gathers dust and life becomes something that we react to rather than something that we're attentive about, right? So before we rush to ask what to do this year, scripture gently invites us to ask a far better question. Who are we before God this year? Not who we hope to become, not who we present ourselves as, but who we already are in God's presence. The world around us begins the year with effort, don't they? Do more, try harder, be better, optimize yourself. And even Christian resolutions can quietly borrow this language, can't they? I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'll finally be consistent with it. And none of those are bad desires, but they can subtly shift the weight of the Christian life onto our performance, can they? Rather than on God's presence. The Christian life, it doesn't begin with striving. The Christian life begins with attention. To begin the year before God is not to suppress any sort of restlessness we feel, but it's meant to lead us home. Before we move, we look. Before we speak, we listen. Before we act, we remember. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Notice it doesn't say that fullness of joy is in our success this year. It doesn't say that fullness of joy is in our discipline this year. It doesn't say that fullness of joy is in our well-executed plans for the year. Joy begins somewhere far quieter, in the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? Augustine once named what so many of us feel at this time of year. He said to God, he said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest."
not in our success, not in our well-exceeded plans, but in you, God. That restlessness that we carry into a new year, it's not a failure, it's a clue. It's what happens when a heart made for God tries to live without reference to him. And so to begin the year before God is not to silence that restlessness, but to let it lead us home. One of the great lies that we carry into a new year is the belief that we must earn God's nearness again. Is that right? Would you agree with that? We assume, often unconsciously, that we begin January at a distance, right? That God's waiting to see how serious we are this time around. That his pleasure is conditional upon how we'll perform spiritually this year. But the gospel says something far better. It says, in Christ you are not working toward God's acceptance, but you're working from it. You are already known. You're already welcomed. You're already loved. Hebrews tells us that through Jesus, we now draw near with confidence, doesn't it? We draw near with confidence, not because we've cleaned ourselves up, not because suddenly we're more, better, but because Christ has opened the way. To live before God means we stop pretending that he doesn't already see us just as we are. To live before God this year means we stop performing spirituality for an imagined audience, but rather we let go of the exhausting attempt to manage God's opinion of us. Can I say that again? We let go of the exhausting attempt to manage God's opinion of us. Who of us, we need to do that this year. We need to let that go. We need to accept the gospel at its word and accept that God loves you just the way you are. And he is doing a good work in you. The new year tempts us to reintroduce ourselves to God as though, you know, he's forgotten us. But the truth is simpler and much more humbling. God has been with you the entire time. Through last year's faithfulness, through last year's compromises, through last year's prayers that you prayed, and through those prayers that you avoided, through the seasons of closeness and the seasons of numbness that you may have encountered. And if God is already present, and he is, then the great work of faith is not bringing him near, but learning to live with open eyes. Worship is not about getting God's attention. It's about giving him ours. The question is not whether God will be present with you this year. The question is whether you will live as though he already is present with you this year. Something else we often do, we often treat worship as something that we fit into life, right? Rather than the place that life rightly ordered. Rather than the place life is rightly ordered. But Scripture presents worship as reorientation, you know, a returning to reality. Again, in those verses we read that we keep, the psalmist says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. That's not him boasting in his achievement. That's not achievement language. It's attention. It's attentiveness. A.W. Tozer once wrote that the most important thing about a person, is what comes into their mind when they think about God. I think Tozer, he had a special relationship with God, and he understood something very vital. The great struggle of the Christian life is not whether God is present, as we've already said, but whether we are aware of it, whether we are attuned to his presence with us. Faith is not inviting God into our lives. Don't we? We often use that language, don't we? Faith is not inviting God into our lives. Faith is learning to live awake to the God who's already there. Isn't that cool? God's already there. Worship, then, is not about getting God's attention. It's about giving him ours. And as our attention is retrained, our loves, the things that you and I love, the things that you and I will fill our year up with, will slowly be reshaped. Psalm 16 doesn't promise a year free from hardship. It promises something deeper. He says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Joy here is not emotional intensity. It is settled life. Life rightly placed before God. John Piper famously put it this way. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. That doesn't mean that joy is something we perform for God's sake. It means God's glory shines most clearly when our hearts finally stop searching elsewhere for life. The new year tempts us to believe that joy will come, you know, once everything is ordered, once everything's achieved. Psalm 16 insists that joy comes when we are ordered, when our lives are lived before God. The Christian life isn't sustained by dramatic spiritual moments, is it? We have those. I think one of those was at the baptism that we all enjoyed at the end of last year. But the Christian life is not sustained by those dramatic spiritual moments. It's sustained by small, faithful turns of heart. Again and again, day after day. This is why the most powerful spiritual practices are often the simplest ones. Not because they're easy, but because they train us to live before God rather than ahead of him. Does that make sense? Scripture speaks of remembering, of returning, of abiding. I love that word, abiding. Jesus doesn't say, strive harder. He says, abide in me. And abiding is rarely loud. It's rarely dramatic. It looks like opening scripture even when it feels dry. It looks like offering a short prayer of trust rather than, you know, forcing eloquence into our words or giving up because you think that God won't bother with what you have to say. It looks like silence, choosing to be still rather than being productive for a moment. To live before God is to resist the anxiety that says, everything depends on you. Everything depends on me. To live before God is to practice placing yourself again and again under the loving authority of God. So how do we do this? How might we begin this year? Not just conceptually, but practically. Not with, you know, grand resolutions that I'm sure if you're one to make resolutions, you've probably already broken already. But with quiet faithfulness. You know, maybe it means setting aside a few quiet minutes each day simply to turn your attention toward God. That could be it. No pressure to feel something profound. No demand to fix your life. No expectation for instant clarity on whatever is feeling muddled and confused. But just attention in the right place. You might read a short portion of scripture, a psalm or a gospel passage. You might pray a brief prayer of trust, simply saying, Lord, you're here and I belong to you, and And I want to be attentive to the fact that you're here. You might sit in silence. Some of us, that might be really hard, right? Not many of us, we can sit in silence. And maybe that can be a challenge for you. You might sit in silence and resist the urge to fill the space. It's not about productivity, it's about presence. It's about attentiveness. You're not trying to summon God. You're not trying to get His attention. You're not trying to bring Him into your day. You're acknowledging that He's already there. And that can change something deep and profound in you. And some days this will feel rich, and other days it will feel flat. But faithfulness is not measured by how meaningful it feels, is it? But by the fact that you keep turning to God anyway. The grace of God gives us permission to begin again this year. Not from scratch, but from grace. The new year doesn't demand that you reinvent yourself. It invites you to return to truth, that as we abide in Christ, it is He who changes us. This is the freedom of the gospel. We begin this year not by promising to do better. If you've been doing that, I promise to do better this year. I promise to do better. Stop. That's not the freedom of the gospel. We begin this year not by promising to do better, but by trusting more deeply. Not by grasping for control over it, but by releasing ourselves again into God's care. And as we do, we discover that the Christian life is not about managing a year successfully, but about walking attentively with a faithful God. As this year opens before us with all its scrutiny, with all its hope, with all its joy, with the challenges that I'm sure are waiting around the corner for many of us, for all of us, Scripture invites us into this posture. Not anxious striving, not spiritual performance, but yeah, but attentive presence. He's lost his dog. It's okay. To live before God is to live honestly. How many of us, that's a challenge, to live honestly before God. To live humbly before Him and securely in the light of His love for you, regardless of your performance. And this year, this is where we begin, not by trying harder, but by beginning again with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the Christian life isn't about performance. We thank you that we don't have to white knuckle it. We don't have to work harder and harder to try and earn your attention or to try and earn our spot with you. Lord, help us to understand and help us to discover the richness of the truth that we probably all already know. The truth that you are always with us already. And that you're not going anywhere. And we pray that this attentiveness to your presence with us will help shape the year ahead of us. May you lead us. May you guide us. May you watch over us. And may we be attentive to your direction, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.